I blink. Who is this we you speak of?
Me.
She looks impatient. And Angleton. And everybody else with Blue Hades clearance who's been working on the project. Except for you and a couple of others who've been kept in a mushroom box against a day.
Damn.
I pick up my glass and drain what's left of the beer. I need another drink. Pause. You too. Make mine a double vodka martini on ice. She pulls a face. I can't seem to kick the habit. I stand up and walk inside to the bar, where the middle-aged barwoman is sitting on a stool, poring over the Sudoku in the back of the Express. Two double vodka martinis on ice, I say diffidently. The woman puts her magazine down. She stares at me like I crawled out from under a rock.
You're going to say shaken, not stirred, ain't you?
She's got a Midwestern accent, probably another defector, I guess.
You know how bad that tastes?
Make it one shaken, one stirred, then. Off the ice, and easy on the vermouth. I wink. I go back towards the corner I'd claimed, then pause in the archway. Moe's leaning back in the sofa, infinitely familiar. For a moment, my breath catches in my throat, and I have to stop and try to commit the picture to memory, in case it turns out to be one of the last good times. Then I force myself to get my legs moving again. They'll be over in a minute, I say, dropping onto the sofa beside her.
Good.
She stares at the windows overlooking the beach.
You know, the Black Chamber wanted to get their hands on Jennifer Morgue. That's what McMurray was doing there.
Yes.
So she thinks I want to talk about business.
We couldn't let them do that.
But luckily for us, Billington, well, he wasn't entirely sane to begin with, and when he came up with the idea of implementing a hero trap, that made things a lot easier.
Easier? It's a good thing I don't have a drink in my hand.
Absolutely, she nods. Imagine if Billington had simply gone to the Black Chamber and said, 10 billion and it's yours, keeping his fix-it plan to himself. But instead, he gets this idea that he's got to act in solitary as the prime mover in the scheme. And of course, he's the archetype of the billionaire megalomaniac, so he does the obvious thing, leverages his assets. The hero trap, the gesh he built around that yacht, required a hero to trigger it. He figured the plot structure is deterministic. The hero falls into the bad guy's hands, the bad guy monologues, and at that point he was going to destroy the trap, neuter the hero, who is just another civil servant at this point, stripped of the resonances of the bond invocation, and allow his plan to proceed to completion.
Except, you know the alternative plot? She glances at the book I've been reading, a biography of a playboy turned naval intelligence officer, news agency manager, and finally spy novelist.
What? I shake my head. I thought it was...
Yes, it's so neat you can draw a flowchart. But it's non-deterministic, Bob. The Bond plot structure has a number of forks in it before it converges on the ending, with Mr. Secret Agent Man and his love interest getting it on in a lifeboat or the honeymoon suite of the QE2 or something, including the approach to the villain. Billington didn't look into it deeply enough. He assumed that the hero archetype would come looking for him and fall into his clutches directly.
But I snap my fingers, trying to collect my scattered thoughts.
You. Me. He got me, but I wasn't the real Bond figure, right? I was a decoy.
She nods.
It happens. If the love interest ends up on the villain's yacht being held prisoner, then the hero has to go after her. Or him. The real trick was the idea, I think it was Angleton's, of using the good Bond girl as a decoy by dressing her up in a tux and a shoulder holster, and then to figure out how to use this to get the Black Chamber to put one over on Billington.
Ramona. She knew that I thought I was the agent in place, so she naturally assumed I really was the agent.
Right. And this also let us identify a leak in our own organization, because how else did Billington make use so rapidly? Which turns out to have been Jack, last of the public school assholes, hung out to dry out where he couldn't do any damage. So he develops a sideline in selling intel to what he thinks is another disgruntled outsider.
Ugh. I suddenly remember the electrodynamic rig Griffin had stuck in his safe house
and briefly wonder just what the hell Elsie might have been picking up on it, sitting pretty in the middle of the Caribbean with no supervision.